I sure am thankful I know that our Redeemer lives. And I know that you are as well. I'm so glad to be here today. It's been just one of those cloud nine type starts for me this morning. I don't know what you call it, a reinvention, an awakening, lately I've been trying to re-examine who I am, trying to find out who I am as a minister, just trying to be the best I can be for God. And sometimes, you know, you think you're doing okay and then something hits you like a ton of bricks. And spiritual enrichment was that for me this year. It hit me like a ton of bricks that maybe I haven't done what I need to do to be the minister I need to be to our community. You know, we sit here and we think that we're doing things for our community, but when it comes down to it, we didn't. Justin and I were in the gym the other day and kind of we both hit us like a ton of bricks between the eyes. And we didn't take time. We went ahead and did it on Thursday after we got done at the gym and everything. We got to this area and we decided that we were going to go into our community and let people know we appreciate them. And so we did some of that. And I don't tell you that to pat ourselves on the back. I tell you that because we probably need a kick in the pants because we hadn't done it sooner. It was a really cool thing. And Justin and I will continue to do more of that. But along the way, what we found was that, you know, those type things feel good. Even though we're trying to serve others, it feels good to serve. And so there are a couple things I want to say about that. First of all, it's just kind of put me in a mindset that I want to see the opportunity ahead of me. And I was very encouraged this morning. I was able to visit with some folks that are visiting with us, just a great couple, and they really encouraged me. Well, then I walk into the building and into the auditorium this morning, and I'm trying to see some people because they bring smiles to my face, and I see some other folks visiting with us, and I get towards the back over here, and my little one-year-old nephew, who I know he knows who I am, they tell me all the time, plain as day, says, "Hey, T." And man, I'm telling you, that just melted my heart. And so it's been that kind of morning for me. A morning when I feel like I'm re-energized. I feel like I am ready to be what God wants me to be. I'm still growing as a minister. I'm still growing as a Christian. And I'm trying to be more. That's what our theme is, more. Let's do more for God. And so I hope that you have that same type feeling today. I hope that you have that same prayer in your heart, that you want to be more. You want to be the most. We all want to be the most we can be. Along those lines, Justin and I, in some of our visiting, we found out that there is something we can do in our community that's really easy. You mentioned it this morning. Our community, Sims, Alabama, is trying to give a book away to every child in Sims. Some of them may not have ever had a new book, you know. I'm sure there's some books that are lightly used in children's books that are, you know, books that you could donate. Or you might want to go buy some or whatever it may be. But we're going to do that book drive with our community, and so we're going to be collecting those books. So I challenge you in that. I challenge you to bring some books up here. I'll bring the Giving Tree. You don't have to bring that one. But several need that copy. That's my favorite book, but anyhow, you can bring more. You can bring that and help with that. Let me tell you another way that we can try to do a little more today. We can try to do a little more for our soul. There are people that are getting together at homes, and I love that. I mean, I know there's a big group getting together at some homes, and there's other things going on. Man, keep getting together. Keep growing in your groups. Keep growing in those that you have that strong bond and that strong friendship with. But then also, if you don't have anywhere to go this afternoon and you're thinking, hey, I'd like to maybe talk a little bit more today about God or some things. I got some things on my heart and I didn't get them answered today. George Spurlock, one of our elders here, and myself will be doing a class today at 4:30. And we call it a class. It's really a discussion. And we just want you to be a part of it if you desire. And let me just tell you, we're excited about that. George and I have been texting back and forth, been praying about it. We've been trying to do it for about 3 weeks now. And so finally we're going to do it today at 4:30 here at Azalea City. And it's a class that we're going to discuss, and we're going to talk, and we're going to challenge ourselves, and we're going to think. And let me say this, you may come in with some questions. You may come in with some thoughts. You may come in with some things, and you think, well, I can't bring that up because somebody might think I'm crazy, or somebody might think I'm this and that. This is a judgment-free class, and this is a class that when we all leave out of here, we're going to love each other, we're going to have each other's hearts, and we're going to just look at it. And so I encourage you to come and be a part of that if you'd like to at 4:30 today. I told you a couple weeks ago, you know, I try to bring Jesus up in my sermons a lot. He is the central focus of what we do, right? Jesus Christ is why we exist, both physically and spiritually. I mean, let's be real about it. But sometimes I look back, and I even look back in my notes, and I thought, man, I don't know if I've ever had that many sermons just on Jesus. And I try to bring Jesus into every one of them. But again, it's about more. What are we doing more? We're trying to be more like Jesus Christ. Theo, thank you for your prayer, brother. He prayed in there that there be visitors here who can know Jesus more. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that a beautiful thought? We all want to know Jesus more. Well, along the way, I thought, well, you know what? I don't know how long the series is going to go. I don't know how long I'm going to talk about it, but I'm going to talk about Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is who we are to be like. Jesus is who George talked to us about a moment ago as he was on the cross and as he was giving his life and spilling his blood. It's that blood that makes us whole. But today I want to talk to you about something that really is kind of, besides his birth and everything else, it's one of the glimpses into Jesus' life of one of his first lessons, one of his first sermons. But I don't necessarily want to focus on the words that Jesus used to his mother. You know, why were you looking for me? Don't you know I must be about my Father's business? Even though I think there's a great lesson in that. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. I think there are great lessons in Luke 2 at the end of the chapter. But today I want to talk about losing Jesus. Because I'm afraid the reason we look around and we see some empty pews. I know there are people out of town. I know that there's sick people. But the reason I think we look around is there are a lot of people around us that have lost Jesus. They've lost Him in their heart. They've lost them in their mind. They've lost them in their soul. They've lost them in their all. Remember, love the Lord your God with all you've got. Your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and prophets. Jesus said that, Matthew 22. Today, as we look into this sermon, I want to talk about and ask the question, have we lost Jesus? And I know that we can look at a crowd this size and say, well, look around you, Terry. There are a bunch of people here that haven't lost Jesus. But folks, let me tell you, we can sit in these pews and still have lost Jesus. Today, as we discuss this, though, I don't want to leave us with losing Jesus. I want to leave us with finding Him. So I want you to dig into this passage with me. Luke 2, beginning in 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Religious people, right? Isn't that a good thing? Oh, by the way, you know, sometimes babies cry out, don't they? And you know what mamas do? And you're panicking and you're sweating and you're thinking, oh, I got to get him to the nursery. Let me just tell you this. I'm glad that you are doing like Mary and bringing your child to worship. I'm glad that you're deciding that it's important to be here. That you're teaching your young child who is in whatever age they're in, their developmental state is very important, but it's also developing their spiritual state. You know, that's why when a teenager gets to 16 years old and they've never been involved in church, they've never been involved in a youth group, they've never been involved in going to class, they've never participated this and that, and a parent comes up and says, Justin, how can I get my child more involved? You know what Justin's response, he may not say this, but his response should be, is you've waited too late. 16 years went by. Now, again, there's exceptions to the rule. But my point of it is, from little bitty on up, those developmental ages are important, right? We've got to have them involved. We've got to be there. Mary had them involved. Mary, they're going to worship. This is their Sunday church, okay, back in that day. part of the law, they went to Feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. 43 now, when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. Now, I would like to say that how dare them not know that, but it happens, doesn't it? When you're traveling in a group, maybe, and all, and you tell your kids, hey, stay with me. And Jesus was 12. He wasn't a little toddler or anything. And so sometimes we might take our sights off of him, but just that quick he was gone. But they didn't realize it. Now, I'd like to sit here and say, hey, Mary, not only did you lose your child, but you lost the Son of God. Okay? I mean, let's face it. You know, you lost Jesus Christ. I'd like to tell you that I would never lose my children. But, you know, if I'm not going to be that hovering helicopter dad, you know what I'm talking about, the helicopter parents you hear about sometimes that hover so close. If I'm going to let them have a little bit of freedom, then sometimes they may get out of my sight for a minute. I'm a human being, right? I'm going to try not to do that, but it might be the case. What happens if that happens? You know, I did that with my mom one time, and I'm sure I broke every chain of command that she gave me, but I really liked G.I. Joe's, the little ones. I think, you know, they had them at TGNY. Am I dating myself a little bit now? Okay, this was pre-Walmart, kids. Pre-Toys R Us, at least in our area. So we go to TGNY, and man, those toys, they'd be calling my name, Terry. And so I'd go to them, and I got separated from Mom, and I can remember that. It was probably for like 2 minutes, but I was scared when I realized she wasn't there. I'd probably look back to ask her if I could have one, you know? But she wasn't there. In that moment, it's nervous. And by the way, we all had the fear of the Wash young man that got separated, you know, and got kidnapped. Every parent put the fear of the Wash into their family. You don't know what I'm talking about? Adam Wash, that situation. And so, you know, mamas and all were on high alert back then. And so it was some tense times. And I'm not near the Son of God. But Mary lost Jesus. Pick back up with me now, 44. Supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey, but when they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances, and when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. Now I admire that, right? They put everything down and they went back. Work didn't matter. Friends didn't matter. Hobbies didn't matter. Nothing mattered but finding Jesus. Nothing mattered but finding him. Of course, they find him and he's among the teachers, listening to them, asking them questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding, his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." He said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house or about my father's business?" And they did not understand the saying he spoke to them. And when he went down with them and came to Nazareth, was submissive to them. His mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. How do we lose Jesus? I think it's a question that we have to ask as we go through this lesson today. How do we lose Jesus? Do you think Mary asked herself that question? How did I lose Jesus? How did I lose the one that I love so much? How did I lose the one that God formed in me? How did I lose Jesus? Emmanuel, Son of God, the Christ. Well, I know Mary must have asked that question, but I think it's fair to say today, have I lost Jesus? And if the answer is yes, and man, let me tell you, be honest. We get this opportunity in life to get it right with God. And man, when we're on the right path with God, it is something special. I mean, something really, really special. But if I'm on the path with God and things are great, then hallelujah, amen, right? But if it's not, then I need to be honest because I want to be on the path. I want to walk with the Lord. Well, how did I lose Him? Just as easy as Mary did. Sometimes we lose Jesus over some things like work. Listen, people have to work. I understand that. And I'm thankful we have jobs, aren't you? Amen. I'm thankful we have the ways that God has given us to provide a living. But sometimes I can get so focused on my work and so focused in the things that are going on that I can lose Jesus Christ. Or maybe it's my children. And man, I love Bo and I love Madeline so much. And I'm so proud of them. And I really am. I'm one of those dads, you know. If you got about 30 minutes, I'll tell you about my kids. I love to talk about them. And you know, Madeline is a good dancer. Bo is a good football player. And I can lose myself in that. I coach the sport or I go. And you know, I get so wrapped up and I'm just so into it. And we've got to go to every travel ball. And we've got to go to every travel dance. And we've got to go to everything. And all of a sudden, I've got so wrapped up in my children's lives. And it could be about books. It could be about studies. It could be about music. It could be about anything. And I've lost Jesus. Or I could get so wrapped up in relaxation. I believe we need to relax. I believe we need to rest. I know I ain't been talking that long. What time we get up here, Steve? Man, you got me up here late. Y'all bear with me a minute. I just looked up and it scared me. The calendar clock scared me. Somebody might have set it forward. Gerald Copeland, you might have done that. Anyhow. The point is, I can get so wrapped up in these things and I can get distracted, or I could get so wrapped up in sin. I could get so wrapped up in the things that appear to be good. The things that appear to be great, right? And I can get wrapped up in this stuff and I can lose Jesus Christ. It just took a little bit of distraction for them to lose Him. I need to ask this question though. Is it possible to lose Jesus in the safest place of all? What are you talking about, Terry? Well, I'm talking about church. I'm talking about right here. I'm talking about where the saints are gathered on high. Jesus, name above all names. Father, Son, Spirit, we praise You. We adore You. We crown You the King, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who we came and we talked about His body and we broke His body and we ate His body and we did the same with His cup and that blood. And today we talk about Jesus and we praise Jesus and we preach about Jesus right here at church. But is it safe to say I can lose Him right here? And let me explain that. You know where they lost Jesus? At worship. They lost Him. They had been to worship and they were heading home and they lost Jesus Christ. Well, how can you lose Jesus at church, preacher? Well, let me try to tell you. I can get so wrapped up in things that do not matter at church that I can miss Jesus Christ. I can get so wrapped up in self at church. He didn't call me. He didn't visit me. He didn't do this for me. And they didn't care about me. And they didn't. And I'm here at church and I'm mad. Well, I'm here for the wrong reason. Or I'm here and you know what? I came to check off, you know, the elders they've got those. Listen, the elders have absentee lists in there. We gave it to them Wednesday night. And they will look back and see who's missed and who's not here. And you know what? I can't get a phone call from the elders. I don't need to get a visit from the elders. Check off. I'm here. But you know what? I'm zoned out right now. I got Facebook on my mind. I got Instagram, Snapchat. I got work. I got everything else on my mind. And I'm sitting in the pew, but I've lost Jesus. Well, how can we make sure we find Him? How can we make sure that doesn't happen? I'm glad you asked. Because we've got several keys today that we need to go through. First of all, We must be careful that routine and tradition never replace the reality of His powerful presence. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, or you can just read it off the screen, Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. You might look at that verse and be like, what is this preacher talking about? It has nothing to do with that point. Then after 14 years, this is Paul writing, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. Now if I pull that verse out of context, it means nothing about number one here, that we need to be careful not to let routine and tradition replace the reality of Jesus' powerful presence. But let me explain to you what's happening in Galatians 2 verse 1. In Galatians 2 verse 1, I just taught it Wednesday night, so it's fresh on my brain. After 14 years, Paul goes back to the place where there was a problem. In Acts chapter 15, Paul goes there for the first time, and there is a problem. You have Jews who have converted over to Christianity, but they can't let go of the tradition. They can't let go of the law, okay? And that law is circumcision, okay? And so they're stuck in it. We cannot let the Gentiles in here. We cannot let them in. They have not been circumcised. No, and you know what happened? A fight, a conflict breaks out over it. 14 years later, in Galatians 2, Paul goes back and they take Titus with him and they're still fighting about it. You know what they did? They got so stuck in routine, so stuck in tradition, that they lost the powerful presence of Jesus Christ. We can't do that as a church. If we do, we lose Him. If we do, we will eventually die as a church. We will not let anyone in. We will not reach out to anyone. And we'll be so upset with anything that happens that is against our tradition that we won't be willing to reach out. We can't let it happen as A City. Number two. I'm going to go through these quick because I have several. We must love truth even when it makes us miserable. You know what it will do? Still make us free. Here's what Jesus said. John 8, 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Go back to the point. Love truth. Sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? Toby, who is a great brother to me, so is Todd. I don't want to short it. But I can remember when we were at Lot Road. Toby and Angie were taking me to church that day for whatever reason. And I really wasn't paying attention. I think I was like making paper airplanes or something, this and that. And Toby, he said, you didn't pay attention today. And it made, I mean, it's my brother, you know. He's 9 years older than me, but it's like, how dare you, you know, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And I got mad at him. And I can remember him saying this. You can't handle the truth of what I just said. Now, he probably doesn't remember that, but I do. But he was right. I couldn't handle the truth because I didn't want to hear it. You know, when somebody says, hey, brother, and we lead with grace now, we lead with love, we lead with what we're supposed to lead with, and we talk to them about it, and they say, hey, you don't really need to be doing that. I struggled with that before, and let me tell you how to get out of it. Sometimes that, even if we lead with grace and truth, that can still hurt us, right? But in the end, if we will be receptive to it, we will accept the truth and will not lose Jesus. We can't be stuck in tradition. We've got to be grounded in truth, even if it makes us uncomfortable. Thirdly, we must seek His way of doing things and stand with Him as the highest priority in our lives. You know this verse, don't you? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Let me ask you this today. This is personal. Is Jesus first priority in our lives? Be careful now, preacher. Let me tell you, we got to love truth. Now, I'm going to try to lead with love and grace here. But let me say this. If Jesus is not first priority, we have lost Jesus. Okay? We've lost Him. You know why he should be first priority? Because he deserves it. In Genesis 1, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit got together and said, "Let us make man." Okay? In John 1, John reminded us, in the beginning was the Word. That's Logos, that's Jesus, okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through Him. He was there when dirt became life. He was there when a rib became woman. He was there when Babylon took over Israel. He was there when judge after judge after judge got it wrong. He was there when there were kings. He was there when they were divided. He was there through it all. And folks, that Word became flesh. He dwelt among us. He died on the cross for you and for me so that we can get back home to God. He deserves to be number one. And if we're not living with Him number one in our lives, then we've lost Him. Number four. There's seven of these, so. I said several. That's close. We must keep His final words before ascending into heaven. His final words before He did that, the primary focus of all we do in ministry. Here they are, right here. "Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." We call that the Great Commission. But it's also a great challenge, isn't it? Now let me tell you. Go into all the world. I have no problem going to Mobile Christian School. I don't. I love it over there. It's in my wheelhouse. I'm in an authority spot where, you know, I can make a difference, I hope, in some lives. I've been recently... And it's an honor and a privilege to be put on the board at Faulkner University. That is a wheelhouse to me. Justin and I will head up to Faulkner tomorrow to the lectureship there, and we'll try to grow, but I'll also try to see what I can do to help Faulkner, help those students. You know, I'm giving back. That's part of the world. That's part of giving back, and that's great. And that's my wheelhouse. I've been to Ukraine several times. I've gotten on an airplane, and I've flown all across there, and I've done those things. And I'm not telling you that to pat myself on the back. I'm telling you that to get to this point. But what have I done for Sims, Alabama? And to answer the question, I don't really know. Okay? There's so many things flooding through my mind. You know, I'm just going to give you one, and this is off the cuff. I was sitting there in my seat. Gerald Copeland brought and Linda, they brought their neighbors the other day. Why haven't I gone and visited them? You know, those are things that are on my brain. Justin and I, yeah, we went out here, and we went into the community, and we went and we told the first responders, "Thank you for what you do. What can we do for you?" We tried to meet with the mayor, but he's a busy man. We'll get with him, though. And we've done those things. And we do food distribution, and Justin does the garden, and there are things we're doing. But what can I do to go into this world? Those are things that are on my heart today. And my thought of it is, if I found Jesus Christ, then I'm going to go. I'm going to go. Number next, I think it's five. We must know and believe the love He has for us. 1 John 4:16, "And we know and we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." Do you know and believe the love He has for you? George laid it out there in Romans 5 earlier. "Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates, makes known, shows, manifests," whatever word you want to use there, "His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The line is not very long, is it? people standing in line to die for us? I mean, think about it. Thank you to those who are in the service field and who have served, who was willing to stand in that line. Thank you to our first responders who put yourselves in harm's way. But let's talk about those that didn't sign up for it. The line to die for Terry Cagle is not a very long line. Okay? It's just being real. What is the line to die for a rapist? What is the line to die for a murderer? What is the line to die for a child molester? What is the line to die for some vile and heinous act? Very, very short or non-existent. But Jesus stood in everyone's line. He stood in my line, He stood in your line, and He stood in everybody else's line who's ever lived. That's the love He has for us. Number six. We must love God with all that we are and love others as we love ourselves. I've alluded to this all morning. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. How much do I love God? How much do I love others? Am I motivated to do anything about it? If the answer is no, then chances are I might not have Jesus. I might have lost Him. Kent made this point. I used it in class earlier when he was here, and I'm going to use it again. Why did Jesus wash the disciples' feet? Oh, to teach a lesson. To teach us how to serve. To teach us to be servants. And all those are right answers. But He washed their feet because they were dirty. And that's what needed to happen next. Did He use it to teach them? Yeah. But they were about to eat a meal together, and their form of eating was to kind of be on an elbow with your feet over, and feet were going to be in face and food. And they were dirty. And there was nobody there to wash them. So Jesus just did it. That's loving others as Himself. That's what servanthood is. We don't have to have this huge ritual, and I think it's okay to come and wash everybody's feet, but there may be a piece of trash out there that's what's next. There may be somebody's home, a widow, that's what's next. There may be somebody who needs a hug or a ride or whatever, that's next. Are we willing to do what's next? I think I skipped a number. Anyhow, we'll go with this one. We must trust enough to surrender completely to Him, laying down our lives, taking up our cross, and following where He leads. Do we trust Him enough to surrender it all? When He had called the people to Himself with His disciples also, He said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." That's Mark 8:34-38. As I hear those words and I think about what I'd be willing to do for some things. If they were giving away $1 million for anybody that would drive to, I don't know, California without sleeping, what would you do? I'd go get a bunch of coffee. I go get a bunch of Red Bulls. I go get a bunch of whatever. And I get in my vehicle and I go. Wouldn't you? I mean, they're just going to give it away. If somebody was going to pay our debt off, if we would run a half marathon, I'd get my inhaler. I get some running shoes and I go run. I might struggle, but I do it. If somebody said, if you will give me your life, I'll take care of all your problems. I'll take care of all your needs. I'll take all your burdens away. And when you die, I'll give you heaven. Would I give Him my life? As we get ready to close, I brought out Lovey. Let me tell you about Lovey. Some of you know Lovey. Lovey's been with us for 7 years now. Ashley and Justin Barnes, right, are the givers of Lovey. They gave them when we knew Madeline was going to be a precious little girl. Okay, Madeline doesn't feel that good today, and she's probably embarrassed that Daddy's talking about her. But they gave her Lovey. And Lovey has been with us every night, save a couple, since Madeline was born. This is very important to Madeline. Lovey gets baths. Lovey sleeps in the bed. Lovey, when things are sad, is a comfort. But one time in our lives, we realized we lost Lovey. Let me just tell you, this is a tragedy. Okay? You think losing $100 is bad? Try losing Lovey. Okay? We turned the house upside down for Lovey. And we could not find Lovey. We talked with Madeline. Madeline, you're going to have to go a night or so without Lovey. We got to find Lovey. It was a lot of tears. A lot of anxiety. A lot of fear. I don't know how much Lovey costs originally. But I know how much Lovey costs on eBay. We have two Loveys now. But eventually, Bo said, I remember where Lovey is. He is something triggered, and maybe it's because he had thrown him behind a couch or something. But we got Lovey back. And we have a spare Lovey. But for Madeline, finding this was the most important thing. Is the most important thing you'd find today your phone? Is it your wallet? Is it your keys? Is it your Lovey? No. The most important thing we can find today is Jesus Christ. If you've lost Him, He's here today, waiting for you to come home. If you've never found Him, we can change that today. Submit your life to Him. Be immersed into waters for the forgiveness of your sins. Find Jesus. And let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.